Srimad Bhagavatam, any, doesn't matter, any verse? Canto 1. Chapter 5. There's two nice verses. Trying to think which one is better. Number 18. 1518. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yaiva hito patite na kovido. Na labhyate ya bhamatam upariyadaha. Ta labhyate dukhanavad anyata sukham. Kalena sarvatra gambhira ramhasa. Maybe we can try it. See if you can remember. Tasyaiva heto patite na kovido.
Tasyaiva heto patite na kovido.
Na labhyate tat pamata upariyada. Ta labhyate dukhanavad anyata sukham. Kalena sarvatra gambhira ramasa. Tasyaiva heto. see, I see. You see. Eva.
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 Heto.
Heto.
Reason.
Arta.
Pata payatate. Kovida. Na. Labhyate. Yat. Brahmatam. Upari Adha. Tat. Labhyate. Tukavat. Tukavat. Dukavat. Anyataha.
Anyataha.
Purva karma ke karan.
Purva karma ke karan.
Sukam.
Sukam.
Indriyaho.
Indriyaho.
Kalena.
Samay ke saath.
Samay ke
saath. Sarvatra.
Sarvatra.
Sabhi jagah.
Sabhi jagah.
Kambira.
Kambira. Sukshma.
Sukshma.
Ramhasa.
Unnati pragati.
Unnati pragati.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtained even by wandering from the topmost plane of Brahmaloka down to the lowest, Patalaloka. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be attained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, although we do not desire them.
जहाँ तक इंद्रिय भोग से प्राप्त होने वाले सुख की बात है, यह तो काल क्रम से स्वतः प्राप्त होता है, जिस प्रकार हमारे न चाहने पर भी हमें दुख देते हैं। प्रत्येक मनुष्य प्रत्येक स्थान में विभिन्न प्रयासों से अधिकाधिक इंद्रिय भोग पाना चाहता है। कुछ मनुष्य व्यापार, उद्योग, आर्थिक विकास, राजनीतिक श्रेष्ठता आदि में लगे रहते तो कुछ लोग सकाम कर्मों में गिरते हैं, जिससे अगले जन्म में उच्चतर लोगों को जाकर सुख भोग सके। कहा जाता है कि चंद्रमा के निवासी सोम रस पीकर अधिक इंद्रिय भोग करने में समर्थ होते हैं और उत्तम उपकारी कार्य पुण्य करने से पितृलोक की प्राप्ति होती है। इंद्रिय भोग के लिए इस जीवन में या मृत्यु के बाद अगले जीवन में अनेक प्रकार की व्यवस्था। कुछ लोग मशीनों की व्यवस्था के द्वारा चंद्रमा या अन्य लोगों तक पहुंचने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं, क्योंकि वे बिना पुण्य कार्य किए ही इन लोगों में पहुंचने के इच्छुक हैं। लेकिन ऐसा होने वाला नहीं। परमेश्वर के नियम के अनुसार विभिन्न कोटि के जीवों के द्वारा किए गए कर्मों के अनुसार ही उन्हें विभिन्न भोग के दुखों तथा सुखों में गुण तथा परिमाण का अंतर रहता है, लेकिन कोई ऐसा नहीं जो जन्म मृत्यु जरा तथा व्याधि से मुक्त हो। इसी प्रकार सबका सुख भी नियत है, कोई चाहे कितना प्रयास क्यों न करे, किसी को ये वस्तुएं अधिक नहीं, यदि मिल भी जाए तो पुनः चली जाए। अतः मनुष्य को उसे तो केवल भगवान के पास वापस जाने के लिए प्रयास करना चाहिए, यही हर एक के जीवन का लक्ष्य होना
चाहिए। Says in Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Purna Arvita Arjuna Mamupeti Puna Janma Purna Janma Navidita. Enaitima Mevi Sarjuna. He's speaking to Arjuna, he says, from the highest planet in this material world, Brahma Loka, all the way down to the lowest of all planets in the material loka, Patala loka, there is misery. Why? Because four features are also always constant. There is birth, there's old age, there's disease, and there's death. Janma, Vidyu, Jara, Vyadi.
ब्रह्मदेवांपासून ब्रह्मलोकांपासून ते पाताळ लोकापर्यंत या जगामध्ये सर्वत्र दुःखच आहे। का बरं दुःख आहे? कारण जी चार प्रमुख लक्षण आहे, जन्म मरण आधार नकार सर्वत्र आहे।
ऑल दीज डिफरंट पोझिशन्स आर सिंपली ड्यू टू वन्स ऍक्टिव्हिटीज इन द मटेरियल रियल।
आणि या चार अवस्था ज्या भौतिक अस्तित्वातील
and all these positions are changeable. No one can stay in any material position for any, what we say, significant duration of time. Even in this world, we're changing our positions. Sometimes we're changing locations, we're changing relationships, we're changing everything. What to speak about when this life is over, there's another complete change. So even if one aspires or gets a good position by material standards, one cannot stay.
Mm-hmm.
Karana Guna Sangha Shor Sarasa Joni Janmasu, that these positions are simply relative to one's karma, and karma is always changing, and positions are always changing. Here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the material world there is two aspects of existence. There is miseries and there is mixed happiness. There is no such thing as pure happiness in this world. All so-called happiness, or what we might say freedom from suffering, is always mixed with some suffering. Therefore, a living entity in this world is never satisfied because he's always in anxiety about the position will change in due course of time, and it will. A great king, he becomes a dog in the next life. So, what is the feature of this material world that one cannot overcome, even in the best position? One may even get a life on the planet of Lord Brahma. Brahma lives for, what is it, 511,040,000,000,000 earth years. It's a long time. Yes. But still, he's got to leave at some point. So even Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, the highest planet, still there is death. And the living entity does not take birth. The living entity does not die. The living entity does not get old. The living entity does not get diseased. These are features of having a material body. So where in the material world can you escape these four features? So this is what this verse is saying, that one who is actually intelligent does not aspire for any position, even the best position in this material world, because it's all temporary. It's like if I tell you, you know, you can go on this wonderful flight Air India flying to Hawaii. Hawaii's a nice place, materially. And on the flight, there's so many beautiful stewardesses and steward people, and they have nice food, all the kinds of food you like, nice movies, entertainment, reclining seats. You can even sleep if you like. You can even watch television. So many nice things. And the flight crew is there at your service. But there's only one problem, that there's not enough fuel to make it to Hawaii. And therefore, the plane will crash soon. But don't worry. For a while, you can enjoy. Never mind if it crashes. Right now, just have enjoy.
आणि हवाई विमानात आहे आणि विमानामध्ये खूप सुंदर सवयी आहेत. तरी पण काय काळजी नाही, तुम्ही जेवढं जमतं तो करा, मजा कर.
Can you enjoy? No, you're thinking, it's going to crash. So in this material world, everything is subject to time. It will end. Some time is longer than others, but still, time is the feature that brings about and takes away everything. Your home, your family, your bank balance, your car, your good looks, everything's finished. Yeah, this is the material world. But people, they have this what is called philosophy of ostrich. Do you know what an ostrich is? An ostrich is a funny looking animal. Have you ever seen an ostrich? He has a long neck. He sticks his head in the ground. In his head, when his head is in the ground, he never sees any danger. There's danger all around him, but because he puts his head in the ground, he doesn't see it. So he thinks there's no danger. So people in the material world, they're all like ostriches. This is the world of ostriches. Everybody has long necks and sticking head in the ground. And they're forgetting that time will take away everything. And if you remind them, oh, that's the worst thing. Don't remind me. Don't tell me that death is going to come, because I don't want to hear that. I want to enjoy. Don't tell me everything is going to be finished. Just like in 1911, I think, the United States of America made one boat. It was called the Titanic. You remember? Did you study about the Titanic in school? The perfect, strong, invincible ocean liner that could sail across the ocean without any problems. So they made this huge, giant boat. Huge. It's like a little village. Strong, big. Now they were going on the first sail just to inaugurate. So all the important people of the country wanted to go on this first trip because they wanted to be known as going on the first trip of the Titanic. So the ship set sail from, I think it was from London, from England. And they were on their way to America. But when they got to one area, there was all these big blocks of ice called icebergs. Huge, giant, big pieces of ice. Big. Like bigger than this building. Solid ice. And everyone's on the deck and they're partying and having a good time. So the people who were driving the boat, they were seeing the ice coming. crashing right into it. And the boat's sinking. The invincible Titanic is going down. Now everyone on the bottom level, they realized they were in trouble. But on the top, they were still partying. So gradually, the top became the bottom. Everybody died. Thousands of people. Yeah. But they were thinking, this is the material world. Everyone's partying, and everyone's thinking, it's invincible. I'm not going to die. I have a body like the Titanic. But then, Krishna sends iceberg. Yeah. This is the material world. Everyone has this idea. Don't remind me that things are temporary. Don't remind me about bad news. Give me only good news, right? I want to hear good news. Yeah, kings, they used to have these messengers or people who would entertain the kings, and they only tell them good things, right? If they bring bad news, then they get punished. Even if it's truth, still, they get punished because they're bringing bad news. But this is the good news. That this material world is temporary. And everything in it is temporary. So this verse says, it says, persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, that means they have good intelligence, brains, do not try to make some arrangement to be situated anywhere in this material world. Why work so hard for something you're going to lose anyway? It doesn't matter. I'll keep it for a little while. But then when it's gone, you don't feel the same way. When it's gone, you don't feel the same way. So this verse says one should try for that place where there is no birth and death. In other words, one should not try for any position in this material world. This is real knowledge. And why find some position that you're going to eventually lose? Here, it says material happiness. Sukham. What is material happiness? The activities of the conditioned soul in this world are two. To find happiness, to avoid suffering. Yes? Right. Everyone wants happiness and avoid suffering. So they plan their life like that. But this verse says something different. He says, people get misery and still they don't try for it. Nobody gets up, today I will have a very miserable day. Yes, today is my full day of misery. Spontaneous, Raganuga misery. spontaneous misery. No, everyone's thinking today will be a better day than yesterday. Yeah, right? Everyone thinks like that. Everyone wants happiness and avoid misery. But yet, misery comes. But then the plan makers tell you, well, the reason misery comes is because you haven't figured out how to do it right yet. You just have to buy this car, get this house, have this girlfriend, boyfriend. You have to know how to do it. There's an art to it, how to avoid misery. But then you say, well, so far nobody's been successful yet. And that doesn't matter. Still, we're trying. There's hope. Someday we'll be able to conquer over misery. Believe me, and if you elect me to the political office, I'll do it. Yeah, it's just the philosophy is you just have to do it different. No, everybody's been trying for how long? since the beginning of time, and still there's misery. So this verse has a very important point. It says, people try for happiness and get misery, or sometimes get misery. So why try for happiness? Because misery comes anyway. If your misery comes without you trying for it, your happiness comes without you trying for it. Yeah. Material happiness is given to you just like material miseries is given to you. It's all part of your, what do we say, karma. Karma, daiva na trena. When you take birth, you have so much material happiness, so much material suffering, it's already there in your karmic account. You can't change that. You can try and adjust it. You can say, I'm in India and it's difficult, so I'll just go to America. Therefore, I'll be happy. But then you get another kind of misery, that's all. You can change your situation, but you can't change misery. I don't like this misery, I like this misery, that's all. Different kind of misery. So this is a fact that our karmic bank account is there. So much happiness, so much distress. You can't change it materially. Just like in America, they have this thing. Maybe they even have it in India, think, the lottery, right? You put money down and you can win a large amount of money, right? So many crores of rupees. Yeah, lottery. Lottery. So people win the lottery sometimes. So after so many years of lotteries winning, somebody decided to do a survey to find out how much the life of a person who won the lottery changed, how it changed. So they did this big survey interviewing all these people. Just to see how that big amount of money changed their life.
It
changed their life. But many, most of the time, it was for the worse. Yeah, they became degraded, or their family members now were trying to kill them to get the money. So many problems. Although they won so much money, still their happiness went down. So what does that say? It says that material achievements and success are not the cause of happiness. And one cannot increase one's happiness simply by these achievements. So this verse is saying, don't worry about your material happiness. It'll come. It comes just automatically. You'll get it. And don't try to stop material distress. You'll get it anyway. Don't worry about these things. Just take shelter of Krishna and devotional service, and Krishna will do the rest. Krishna takes care of everything. Krishna's in control. And when the devotee, the person takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna takes control of that person's life. Then one is on the path, free from all material happiness and distress. Not only distress, but material happiness. You lose your material happiness when you take the devotional service. That's terrible, isn't it? But what is material happiness? One great poet named Vyapati, he preceded Lord Chaitanya about 300 years. He writes that material happiness is like a drop of water in a desert. If you're in a desert and you're thirsty, somebody comes along and gives you one drop, you think, what a rascal. You become angry. Why are you harassing me? What will one drop do if you're thirsty? It just makes you more thirsty, that's all. But then you stay looking for that reservoir. You're in the desert. You're looking for that clear pond of refreshing water. And then you see it. There it is. There, I see it. It's over there. Now I just have to get it. So then we go for it. And we get to it. We try to drink. And what do you get? More sand. It's an illusion. You think you see it. Just like in the desert, when the sun reflects off the sand, it makes an oasis, and people see a mirage. So that mirage is simply a reflection of the sun off the sand. So material happiness is like that. It's like an illusion. You see it, it looks good, everybody else is doing it, and you try it, but somehow it doesn't work for you. Everyone is thinking, it's working for everybody else except me. But everyone's thinking the same. It's not working for anybody, but they're all thinking it's working for somebody else. So you get it, but somehow you get a little drop. It's a little drop. And it keeps you going for a little while. Then you get another drop. And another drop. And your hope is to find that reservoir. So drop here, drop there, drop there, and then you drop. No more drops. Just a big drop. Yeah, it's the material world. So don't worry about happiness. Don't worry about distress. Just surrender to Krishna. Engage in devotional service. That's the perfection of life. Krishna will take care of your life. We're trying to figure it out. Should I surrender? Or should I? How much should I surrender? 2% today. Tomorrow, 3%. Krishna says, Mana Sucha, don't waste time, so surrender. Well, how do I surrender? Just go and ask Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, how can I surrender? And he'll tell you. And he knows, because he knows what to say to each conditioned soul, because Krishna has told him exactly what he should say. The spiritual master is empowered by the Lord to awaken within the heart of the conditioned soul his desire to attain the Lord. And he can also show you practically how to achieve that in the day-to-day life. So bhakti means easy. It's easy. All you have to do is learn how to follow instructions. So it's easy. But you have to want Krishna. You have to want devotional service. Yes, I want Krishna, but I want Maya too. Maya is not so bad. She's a pure devotee. I'm surrendered to a pure devotee. Hari Maya, Hari Maya, Maya Maya, Hari Hari. Hari Durga, Hari Durga, Durga Durga, Hari Hari. It's a surrender, yeah. It's a surrender to the material energy. But when you surrender to the material energy, after surrendering your whole life at the end, she says, ha ha, you just wasted your life, Prabhu. I am not the person you're supposed to surrender to. So, just take shelter of devotional service, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, engage in practical service, take Krishna Prasadam, and live by some simple religious principles which can be practically applied in all ashrams of life. We have to have faith, like we'll speak in that if I engage in devotional service, all my desires and more will be fulfilled. There's two ways to fulfill a desire. If you want something, you get it. If you get it, that's one way of fulfilling it. But if you get something better, that's also another way of fulfilling it. So that's devotional service is giving us both, but it's giving us something better. And what is that? Knowledge, happiness, freedom from material misery, association with Krishna. This is bhakti. And don't worry, material energy. Yogamangala Thakur says, since I have been engaged in material energy, liberation, material happiness, bhakti and mukti, they are standing there saying, Prabhu, how can we serve you? When one serves the Supreme Lord or engages in devotional service, all aspects of the existence become supportive of that person. In other words, the demigods, all living entities, everyone else, all of Krishna's energies support that person in their devotional life. So this verse is teaching a very important principle that don't aspire for anything in this material world and don't worry about your happiness, it will come. Just engage in devotional service. That is the perfection of life. Prabhupada says, no one can get more or less of these material things by their endeavor. Even if they are obtained, they are lost again. One should not therefore waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. Okay, so this is a very important verse. Prabhupada used to recite this quite often in his lectures just to teach us that happiness and distress, it will come. You can't stop it. You can't, you know, do anything to increase it. Material happiness and distress, it will come. But there is spiritual happiness. In fact, there's only spiritual. There's no such thing as spiritual distress. Distress means material. Happiness really means spiritual. There's no such thing as material happiness either. Do you want to know what material happiness is? Did you ever try to figure what it is? Prabhupada tells the story. What is material happiness? Would you like to hear Prabhupada's story of defining It's a nice story. There was one king, his name was Chandrasekhar. He had one servant. It was his assistant, his name was Gopal Ban. You know Gopal Ban? So one day, Chandrasekhar, the king, he came into the palace and he was very happy. So his wife just had a baby boy. He was telling all the residents of the palace, all his ministers and assistants, oh, my wife, she just had a baby boy. Everyone's saying, King, congratulations. Well done. So then he went to Gopal. Now Gopal is he's kind of like a court jester. He makes the king laugh. So sometimes he tells jokes. King was serious. He said, Gopal, my wife just had a baby boy. He was happy, smiling.
And Gopal said, Radha,
Gopal said, King, I'm so happy for you that I could pass stool. King said, what? He became angry. And then Gopal said it again. King said, you nonsense. Then he walked away, angry. So next day they were scheduled to go on a hunting trip together. So they were on the river, and they were in a boat, and Gopal, he's rowing the boat, and the king's in the boat. So Gopal's rowing, and the king's, he's there. And then he says, King says to Gopal, Gopal, I have to take care of nature. Pull the boat over to the side. Gopal says, just keeps rowing. And then after some time, the king says, Gopal, pull the boat over to the side. He's not doing it. He just keep rowing. King, emergency. Gopal, pull the boat over. King gets out, goes into the woods, comes back out. He's smiling. Gopal says, how do you feel, King? He says, I feel very happy. Then he remembered what Gopal said yesterday. Prabhupada tells this story that material happiness is a relief from material suffering. Yeah. All material happiness is a counteraction of material misery. You're hungry. You're hungry. That's a problem. So you eat and you feel happy. So what are you doing? You're counteracting the misery of hunger, that's all. You have lusty desires. So you fulfill your lusty desires. You think you're happy. You're just counteracting the pain of lust, that's all. So this whole material world is like that. Just counteraction, counteraction, counteraction. It's hot, so we run the fans. Right? We think, oh, the fan's so nice. But it's just counteracting the heat, that's all. And when it's cold, then we shut the fans off. Right? And we turn the heaters on. So this material world is always counteraction of something. And we call that happiness. So what is that one drop that Vyapati says? There, in this material world, there's one drop of happiness. There is some material happiness. There is. I'm not so negative. Prabhupada says society, friendship, and love. Family life. In family life, there's one drop of happiness. And for that family life, we're working so hard and sacrificing so much for one drop.
या कौटुंबिक जीवनाच्या इतका संघर्ष करतो, इतका त्याग करत असतो, तेव्हा इतका संघर्ष आहे.
That is material life. But real happiness is what we say, anandam bhudivardhanam. It's an ocean of unlimited bliss that is unending, so, so deep and so expansive. Krishna is the source of unlimited pleasure, and when the soul comes in contact with that source of pleasure, it becomes unlimitedly pleasurable.
Yeah.
Chant the holy names of the Lord and we tap into that reservoir of unlimited bliss. Prabhupada said, you're chanting 16 rounds and you're thinking 16 rounds, but when you're actually chanting the holy name, you'll be thinking, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? He said, this is chanting. When you're experiencing the happiness from chanting, then you're thinking, why only 16? Why not 16,000? This is Krishna's name. It's full of unlimited pleasure. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey,
Krishna, 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 hey,
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
can ask any question. Krishna says in Gita, ninth verse of the third chapter, Gyagnarta Kamano Yatra, Lokoyam Kamabandana, Tatkarta Kamakantaya, Mukta Sangha Samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your activities for his satisfaction, and therefore you will be unattached and free from bondage. One has to learn the art of how to do everything as an offering to Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Manaso Deho Geho Yogyachyuto Arpitu Tuapada Nandakishwar. My dear Nandakishwar, my home, my family, my possessions, my everything, even my body, it belongs to you. So we perform our material activities as a service to Krishna. We have to do them. We have some responsibilities. But the thing is, these material activities are not the source of our happiness. We're not looking for the happiness in these things. We're looking them to do them as a responsibility, that's all. Then we call them the necessary burden. We have to do them. But our real happiness is to associate with devotees, chant the holy names, hear the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, take Krishna Prasadam, engage in practice. These are the things that awaken our eternal loving relationship, which are the source of happiness. So we have to learn to become detached from the results of these activities. We do them, but that's all. It's like a job. You do it as a responsibility, that's all. Krishna told Arjuna, you fight, but don't fight for yourself, fight for me. Arjuna didn't want to do anything, but then Krishna finally convinced him But then he not only convinced him, but he convinced him to fight with full endeavor and with full intelligence. So we take care of our family, that's a responsibility. We take care of our occupation, that's a responsibility. But that's it, it's a responsibility. It's a service. We do it as a service to Krishna. Just do it as a service. Just like you do anything else as a service, do it as an offering to Krishna. Don't do it for yourself. Just like when we offer something to Krishna, we're not trying to enjoy what we're offering it, we're trying to offer it to Krishna. So same way, whatever material activities we do, do it as a service, that's all. Try to do it as nicely and properly as possible, and do it as an offering to Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, Yat karosi aranasi yachahosi dadasi yatafasi tukunte yatat kurusu marakam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away in charity, everything you do should be done as an offering to me. Make Krishna the goal of all your activities. And if you're not sure, practically speaking, on how to do that, then Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this art of doing everything as a service to Krishna must be learned from the spiritual master. Anything we do for ourselves means that we're looking for some result. And if we're looking for some result, then there'll be happiness and distress connected with the result. Just do everything as a service to the Lord and give the results to the Lord, that's all. It's for you, Lord. I'm taking care of my family for you, as a service to you. I'm taking care of my occupation as a service to you. I do this as a service for you. But we need to have nice sadhana, because when we have strong sadhana, a regular sadhana, then we can develop this consciousness easily. If we don't have good sadhana, then it's impossible to develop this the proper consciousness. We must hear and chant regularly every day. The activities of bhakti are pleasurable, and if we're not finding pleasure in these activities, then when we do our material responsibilities, we'll be looking for pleasure in those. Okay. And best thing is to inquire from the spiritual master how best to do it. Any other questions?
शंकराचार्य मंदिरात प्रसाद घेऊन एका मंदिरात जाऊ नये असं म्हणतात हे किती सत्य आहे.
Lord Chaitanya, when he traveled in South India, he visited many Shiva temples. In fact, practically most of the temples he visited were, besides Vishnu temples, Shiva temples. We can go honor Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu. He's Shambhu. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So we honor Shiva. And if they give you some prasad, you just, in your mind, you offer it to your spiritual master and then you can take. There's nothing wrong in that. Long as it's not against the principles. But they give you a little prasad, that's no problem. You take. In fact, tomorrow I'll be visiting a Shiva temple. You want to come? You can come with me. The only problem is it's in Satara. It's a beautiful Shiva temple in Satara. I always visit it. It's a wonderful temple. It's one of the few Shiva temples that has the actual form of Lord Shiva. He's actually not the Linga, he's not the Raja. So devotees can visit Shiva temples, show respects to Shiva, and accept a little prasad, but we don't make a habit of that, that's all. There's nothing wrong. She wants the microphone over there. Oh, you have another one over here too?
She has passed it too.
Okay.
What should I do?
Whatever you want to do.
You can have two questions. You have this and then you can have this question.
Yeah. Well, give me. Who has question?
Vrindavan.
Oh, Vrindavan Anand. You know everything. Why are you asking questions?
Hare Krishna. I spent a lecture with saying patience is the symptom of faith. Faith in God. My question is, there are so many hurdles for us which we are trying to overcome. Suppose a devotee is trying very sincerely to overcome a particular anarthana and old habits that are very powerful. So he's trying his best, praying to Krishna, but still expected results are not coming immediately. And in this process, because he has not overcome that anarthana completely, but because he has not overcome it, but anartha is there, and then he has to suffer consequences of that anartha. He still is not able to overcome, even though he's trying. So, the problem is lack of patience. So, even because of that problem, that devotee can become frustrated, because there is no patience. So, this impatience can lead to frustration or blocked activity.
How to develop patience? How to develop patience? That's your question?
अंडा अनंत जी दुष्परिणाम भोगायला असं करताना
meditation is your question. That's the whole question. You should have asked that in the beginning, how to develop patience. How to develop patience? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary on Srila Rupa Goswami's six characteristics that are successful for executing devotional service, one of them is Daryat. Daryat means patience. He writes that in order to develop patience, one must have good philosophical understanding. Because when you have a good philosophical understanding, you understand how this process works. And then when you understand how it works, then you know that it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Simply by having a good working knowledge of the philosophical principles that make up bhakti, one will understand that if I just persevere according to these principles, then gradually, you know, the results will come. Perseverance is a quality of patience also. But persevering in the right way. If we can be impatient or not get the results because we're not doing the things that are necessary to get the results. Therefore, we have to know how to execute bhakti correctly. And then when we know and we're doing it, then we can develop patience. To develop patience, which is even more simple, is just associate with devotees. If we're finding happiness and associated with devotees, we're happy. When you're happy, you don't become impatient. You become impatient when you're not happy. So happiness comes by associating with devotees, executing the process. These are symptoms of patience. But they all work together. One has to be enthusiastic, one has to be determined, one has to be patient. If you're patient, but you have no enthusiasm, it'll never happen. If you're enthusiastic, but you're not patient, then after some time you'll quit. Prabhupada says, a woman, she gets married. She has a nice husband. Now she's thinking, where's the baby? Now she has to wait. Baby doesn't come as soon as you get a husband. It takes some time. So in the same way, although we're situated, still the results take time. Patience. Question? You had a question too? This is your question?
Can you please tell something about depression?
start praying, etc. But in this case, the person forgets everything and there is no power at all to resist the situation. A person can do just anything, even he can commit suicide. So, please guide him. The Prashna said, Pijay, Nirasha Aste. And Nirasha, that's how I think of the mind of the Pija planet, Arthana. And if not, you can be a certain result and the Buddha. And you are going to be a Pratikar, they can be a certain thing. But if you have one day, just another thing, they should be a certain thing.
It says that the leading disease in the world today is depression, and by 2015 it will take over 1/3 of the population. These symptoms of depression are symptomatic of a highly industrial society. The more complicated our life gets, the more chances we can become depressed. Because we're expecting so many things and we're being pressurized from the outside by so many people, so many expectations. Diseases like cancer and depression are symptoms of the feature of a highly industrial society. Both of them are symptom of unnatural lifestyle. We're not meant to work like an ass, nor are we meant to have such a complicated surroundings just to live. So the mind is an organ, just like there's the heart is an organ, the liver, the kidneys are all organ. The mind is also an organ. It's not simply something different. It gets disease too. And one of the diseases is unfulfilled desires or expectations. False expectations, false lifestyles, all these things are symptoms of depression. All these things are sources of depression. So Krishna consciousness means simple living, I thinking. So see what in our life is the cause of our depression and try to see how you can change that. But we cannot always see it, so therefore, usually if one gets depressed, the best solution is to get help from other devotees. And suicide is not a solution. In fact, it makes the problem worse. Suicide means no physical body, but still one has a subtle body. By suicide one becomes a ghost. Ghost means no physical body. But still has material desires, but cannot fulfill them, so that one still remains in a depressed state in the subtle body. Solution is to somehow or other see how to live according to the plan of God. God has a plan for us to live. how to live happily. What do we need? We need some food, we need the holy name, association with devotees. These things are the source of our happiness. The world is so complicated. And the world is going more complicated and creating more problems. All this material advancement that India is now taking on is going to lead to tremendous amounts of problems and suffering. It's not the solution to the problems that India has is by becoming highly technological industrial society. It simply will create more chaos and more problems, that's all. Distress, heart attacks, all these things, broken families, these are all symptoms of a modern society that is godless. I know, I can tell you for sure. One of the most depressed nation in the world is America. It has the highest rate of suicides, has the greatest amount of depression. And it's the most, what we say, powerful nation in the world. Still. So the answer, of course, is Krishna consciousness. But the thing is, we have to live a lifestyle that is conducive, that allows for us to practice Krishna consciousness properly. I mean, some of us have great abilities and talents, and we can work hard and be happy. And others, they break under such pressure. But in either case, still, we should simplify our life. And if you're really feeling depressed, go on yatra. Go to Mayapur, Tirupati. Take a break. Spiritual vacation. Yes. Life is not simply one way. We have to go one way, but go sideways too. We get stuck in a rut. Just break out of the rut sometimes. Do something different. Go on yatra, or go to Radha Gopinath. I'm not saying you should give up your responsibilities. I'm saying it's nice every once in a while associate with devotees in a pure spiritual atmosphere with no other activity. That's all. Yes? Okay. But don't become depressed. If you're becoming depressed, then start speaking to other devotees and open up your heart. This is one of the ways that devotees associate together, by exchanging thoughts, confidential thoughts, helping each other to solve problems. Dadati pratigranati bhuyam guyam akhyati prichchiti bhunte bhojite chaiva sadvidam iti lakshanam. Six ways to devotees that interact: to give charity, to give a gift, to receive a gift, to open your heart and mind to another devotee, to hear another devotee's confidential thoughts, to give prasadam, and to receive prasadam. These are the six exchanges of love between Vaishnavas. We should regularly engage in these six exchanges. Prabhupada said, I have built this society in order to create an atmosphere where devotees can exchange these six loving ways. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.